This morning, would you mind turning me down a little bit, Wayne? I feel like I'm loud. Thanks. This morning, I want to just kind of continue on a little bit where we've been going the last few weeks. we're going to start into the book of Acts this morning, and we've been kind of camping on that season in Jesus' life where just after he died, rose again, and spent 40 days with his disciples, and basically affirming to them who he was. And I think in a lot of ways, opening their eyes to who Jesus really came to be. And they still struggled with, in their mind, thinking of what they've been taught all their lives, that there would be a Messiah who would come, who would politically rescue them, who would be a military leader, who would lead them to victory. Anyway, in the book of Acts, it reveals the transfer of Christ's authority and mission to his disciples. And he is about to baptize his disciples with the Holy Spirit, who empowered his ministry. And so Jesus began his ministry after being baptized in water, not because he had to repent of sin or that he had done anything wrong, but because he knew the Holy Spirit would come. And I think many times we don't encourage people enough to be baptized. It's more than just a symbolic thing, but it's an actual surrendering and submitting of our heart to the Lord and our life to him, and inviting him to come and be Lord in us. And it is also, of course, symbolic of our old nature being washed away and the new nature coming. But it seems to open the door for our heart to receive from the Lord. And so that's why Jesus did it. And so we're called to submit and to the Lordship of Jesus in our life, because it opens up the door for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and fill us. I was looking in my Bible's notes just as an introduction to Acts, and it says that from the time, referring to Jesus' baptism, that from that time when he's baptized, he is led of the Spirit and moves into ministry, declaring the presence of God's kingdom and manifesting its signs, wonders, and miracles. This pathway points each believer to the need for power. If kingdom ministry is to be advanced through us, his church, like him, we too are born of the Spirit, and spiritual rebirth saves, but spiritual endowment is needed for ministering in kingdom power. And so the distinctive purpose of the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts is to empower the church for ministry. And of course, the question is, who is called to minister? All of us, right? Everyone who follows Jesus is called to minister. And so you and I have a job to do. We have a mission that Jesus has given us. And Acts is basically a record of practicing Christianity under the power of the Holy Spirit. It teaches believers how to live together in the Christian fellowship, sharing freely with one another. We also see in Acts that Christians fought. They didn't get along. They argued. They struggled. But even in the midst of some really strong personalities in Acts, we see that they were willing to submit to one another. And they put the mission of loving Jesus and loving others first. And it's a call to the church to live in unity and to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. One of the greatest characteristics we see of early Christians was the spiritual power that they flowed in. And they fasted, they prayed fervently, they sought the Lord, and their faith released miracle-working power of God in their lives. Acts is about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Signs and wonders followed those who believed. The work of the Spirit in Acts, however, cannot be understood without seeing the relationship between Acts and the Gospels, which demonstrates an essential continuity. Both the public ministry of Jesus in the Gospels and the public ministry of the church in Acts began with a life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit. Both are essential accounts of the results of that event. And the power of the Spirit in Jesus' life authorized him to preach the kingdom of God and to demonstrate kingdom power by healing the sick, casting out demons, and setting the captives free. An example is Matthew 4:23, where it says that he went around, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. Jesus went around showing people that there was a kingdom that they weren't aware of, a spiritual kingdom that they were invited to. And so I believe today even that that's part of why signs and wonders, why we see healing follow in the gospel. It's why it's something we should expect. It's because it's an invitation to people to realize there's something more here than just talk. Amen? Jesus is the prototype of the Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life. The book of Acts is the story of the disciples receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. I can't remember if I put this one up there, but Acts 10:38, and you know, it says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Did you know that God is with you and I today too? So if you have your Bibles, you can kind of follow along. I don't think we're going to do verse by verse through all of Acts, but we are going to spend a lot of time in Acts for the next little while. And so Acts 1 verses 1, okay, this is Luke's second book, and it just says this: the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And so he's writing, you can see in the beginning of the book of Luke also, he writes and he refers to Theophilus. It's interesting that that name means loved by God or lover of God. And so he's writing to his friend, a coworker who is in love with God. And this is, I think this book encourages us to go after God's heart. When we see that what is available to us as his followers, that that we are called to have a passion for him and to impact the world around us. And so verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus died, he rose again, and he spent 40 days. And we've talked about some of this, but just some of the proof, some of the evidence that he was alive, that the changed lives and the disciples, the people that he appeared to, the things that he did. And he went to them and he challenged them, don't doubt, but believe. Don't doubt that I am who I said I am, but believe in me. And there was this change in their hearts and their lives that came from this time. And he proved to them who he was and that he was with them. And there is something about in our hearts that we have to have settled. We have to believe that he is who he says he is. Not just part of it, not just a little bit, that do we believe the whole thing? Do we believe the whole story? Do we believe that all that he says is available to us is available to us? We don't just have fire insurance where we hope not to go to hell one day, but do we believe that we belong to him, that we are his children, that we can know him and hear his voice today and experience his goodness? Amen. There's some interesting things that we talked about a little bit the last few weeks, but I just think are so important. As an example, in Luke 24, you know, Jesus walked with the two followers to the road, on the road to Emmaus, and he explains to them the word of God. And I think it's an example too that Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, we need to know that when we open up the Bible, when we pray, when we seek his face, when we call on him, that he explains the truth to us. The Holy Spirit is in us to show us the truth and to show us the way. And we just need to know him. That's our responsibility, is to know Jesus and let him lead us. Luke 24:27 says, Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus spent time showing them how the Bible, the Old Testament, basically pointed towards him and who he was and what he was coming to do. The whole Old Testament points to the Messiah and our need for a Messiah and who the Messiah would be and what he would look like. And again, many people would put Jesus in a box, what he would look like, the Messiah. And of course, they were missing who he was and who he came to be. But you can look through, we're not going to look up all the scriptures, but you can look through many. There's Deuteronomy 18 that talks about Jesus' role as a prophet. There's his sufferings that were prophesied in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. His resurrection was predicted in Psalm 16, 9 to 11, and Isaiah 53, verses 10 and 11. That's all through the Old Testament. There's signs, there's pointers saying a Messiah is coming, and this is who he is, and this is what he's coming to do. And so we see in Luke 24, we read about this the other week, where Jesus showed them, he opened their eyes, it says in verses 44 and 45, and he showed them how to read the Bible, and he showed them who he was in Scripture, and all the Scriptures that referred to him. He started with the Law and the Prophets, and he worked his way through. And God is wanting to do that with us. He wants our eyes to be open when we read the Bible. He wants us, our hearts, to be aware of what he's saying to us. Amen? Are you guys okay? All right. So verse 4, we're going to keep going. Being assembled, or then he said, Acts 1, verse 4. There we go. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. And so, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Again, he reminds them of the promise that he's given them, that the Holy Spirit is coming, and the Holy Spirit will empower them. And the Holy Spirit baptism is a promise for every believer. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, or if you're a brand new Christian. The Holy Spirit is a promise for us that we can pursue and open our hearts to. And it comes, he comes when we fully surrender to him. Amen? There is something about us submitting our hearts to him that invites the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. So again, they still don't totally get it. They still don't totally understand who he is or what he's come to do. They're still hoping that he will free them under the reign of Rome, and that there will be this breakthrough. And it's like they saw him die, and it crushed them, and they thought they had lost hope. Then they saw him alive, and they thought, okay, there's hope again. This is going to happen. Our dream of being free of Roman rule is going to take place. And he says, no, it's a spiritual kingdom that I'm inviting you to. And it's not exactly how you see it. And he has to keep tweaking the way that they think and the way that they look at that walk with God. And I think that if we need to be open to allowing the Lord sometimes to change the way that we see him, to understand who our identity is in him. Amen? Sometimes we get caught up in our own attitudes. We get caught up in our own hopes of what God will do in my life, or how he will engage in my life or my family, or how he might answer a prayer. And we have to know that we have to just be able to trust him and let him lead us. Are we okay? The ascension doesn't mark the end of Jesus' ministry, but the beginning of ministry with us. Jesus came to show us there's an invitation to a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom that we weren't aware of. And the Spirit of Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, dwells in us and goes with us to build that kingdom. And it's our mission to go. It's not about building my kingdom. It's not about making myself powerful or anything like that, but it's about honoring him in all that we do. Amen? And that's what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. You're here to build his kingdom. He basically was like, I'm about to ditch. I'm about to float out of here, and I'm not bringing you guys with me, because there's a whole bunch of people that don't know the truth, and I'm releasing you. I'm giving you all that I have to go and to be a witness. And I want you to go and lead people to that invitation of there is a spiritual kingdom that we can be a part of. That kingdom isn't political, and it's not geographical, and it's available to everyone. All right, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's read that first part again. But you will receive what? You will receive what? Say it like you believe it. You will receive power. All right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Maybe shout it to your neighbor or something. You will receive power. This is Jesus' last words. His last words before he leaves. He says, you will receive power to witness everywhere. Jesus could only be in one place at a time, because he was in a human body. And so he goes to the Father so the Holy Spirit can fill us, all of us, and be with us everywhere. All the time. Excuse me. In Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, I pray that you'll continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. All right, this power was released and we access it through faith. It's resurrection power that's available to you and I today because of Jesus dying and rising again and conquering sin in the grave. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, you and I. So how do 120 people spread the good news to the rest of the world? Power. How do you get the world's attention with the entertainment, with the theories, the religions, the stuff going on in our world today? Through his power. God's power is greater than any other. Where does that power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us. And that is a central theme of the book of Acts and the church. The power brought boldness and gifts and signs and wonders. And the Holy Spirit moves. The power of God is an invitation to another kingdom. And because the power of God trumps our natural laws here even. So that's why Jesus can trump the power of gravity and he floats in the air. If we have our natural rules here, our natural laws that we see, like gravity, if I take this and I drop it, it's going to go down, right? But his kingdom overrules the natural laws here. So if God decides in the moment that gravity doesn't work, it doesn't work. Right? The same thing can be said about our medical field. I love doctors and I think they are a gift from God. But if somebody says to you that, you know, whatever you have is unfixable or terminal or whatever it might be, there is still the ability that God can say, I have a greater truth. And that is in this moment, you're healed. And that's because his power is greater than what we see. It doesn't mean that what a doctor sees on an x-ray or whatever, a CT, isn't true. It's just that the reality of God can break in those moments. You and I were designed to be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over. We were designed to live in the fullness of God, to be baptized, to surrender to his leading in our life and in our hearts. You are invited today not to religion, but to Jesus. The Christian life is to be lived in the Spirit, and the story of the church and the story of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church throughout Acts is an invitation to us. His power should be evident because he shows up in church. You know, church should be unique because you see God moving. Our lives should be unique because we see God at work in us. We see a change, a difference. Sometimes people say, well, how do I know if I'm a Christian? How do I know if I'm a follower of Jesus? There should be a difference between when you didn't know Jesus and when you do. Because he changes you. Because you have faith in him. And the more that you understand who he is, the more you pursue him. You just can't help it. Because of the goodness of Jesus, you want more of him as you get to know him. So your attitude changes. Your desires change. Your actions in the end change. Because he changes you from the inside out. And it's a sign to the rest of the world when we begin to live differently. Because people see that in us. Amen? I think it was significant that Jesus said to his disciples, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. He knew that we couldn't accomplish the mission that we have without being filled. And I believe that we need to get our hearts right with God and allow our lives to be fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish what he is calling us to in our lives for us, the ministry that he has for us. When we try to step out before being surrendered to God, before letting him lead us, then our flesh gets in the way and it can get pretty ugly. It can all of a sudden become about building my kingdom. It can become about what I think it should be instead of what God is saying he wants to do. I hope that makes sense. But we need to be fully surrendered and fully submitted. In Ephesians 4, verses 8 to 12. I think I put that one up there. Oh, go to the one before. That's the end. Yeah. That is why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. So Jesus ascended and then the Holy Spirit came and he empowers us and he gives us gifts. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. So he left in his earthly bodily form to return with the Holy Spirit to be everywhere in all of us. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up his church in the body of Christ. And so Jesus had to die and rise again so that we could be equipped to do the mission that he's called us to impact the world. There is something about co-laboring. He wants to work with us. He wants to partner with us. You know, he could have programmed us to be good all the time. He could have programmed us to be perfect. He could have programmed us so that we would never sin. But there's something about this love relationship where he wanted us to have the opportunity to choose what we did and whether we walked with God or not, whether we believed or not, whether we had faith or not. And that's because that's real love, isn't it? Love has to be a choice. If we didn't have a choice, if we were just programmed to be, like you heard the term, yes man, just anything that we were supposed to do is, yeah, we could have been programmed to all get a good night's sleep every night. We could have been programmed to treat everybody perfectly around us. We could have been programmed to be amazing workers every single day. All that kind of stuff could have been done. Would have been pretty boring. But God wanted us, he loved us so much that he gives us a choice in how we live and how we interact with others, and how we walk with him. And he wants to partner with us. And so he gives us, out of love, this opportunity to walk with him in relationship, to make a difference in the world. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us are not to make us look better. And sometimes I think people have gotten caught up in seeking a gift instead of seeking Jesus. And they think that it makes me look spiritual or more important or gives me a status if I have this gift or that gift or I can do this or do that. And no, the point is we seek Jesus. He equips us to do the stuff for him. And whatever gifts he gives, whatever we learn to walk in. And the Bible says to eagerly desire them all. And I believe that when we have a measure of faith and hunger and pursue him and our heart is surrendered, he continues to give us new gifts. And we learn to walk in new things. I never used to have any kind of prophetic gift, but I saw it at work. I saw how it changed my life. And I said, God, I want to learn how to hear your voice for other people. I want to learn to hear your thoughts. I want to learn to understand what you're saying. And I'm by no means perfect at it, but it's a gift that I've grown in. And when we went to Brazil and I saw the gift of word and knowledge in place, there was something in my heart. I was like, Lord, I long for that. It's not something I'd really seen very much in my life before that. But in that trip, it was like I kept seeing how they used it and people were being healed and how it encouraged people. And I said, God, I want that in my life. I want to be able to encourage other people. I want to be able to flow in your healing more. And I want to learn to walk in that. And so there is this faith that we step out in, that we begin to pursue him. And it's not to make me look good. It's not to make you look good. It's to say, God, I want to build your kingdom. Help me, equip me, strengthen me. I want to be fully surrendered and submitted to you so I can be a greater witness for you. Amen? And that's... You guys okay? Okay, some of you are giving me a little bit of a funny look. Does that make sense? The gifts are not to make us look good. The gifts don't make you give you a special spiritual status. He equips us to accomplish the mission he's given us. Our purpose is to love Jesus and let him lead us. I hope that makes sense. So after we receive power, we will be witnesses everywhere to Jesus. We talked about the Great Commission last week. And Jesus is saying to all of us to go into the world, to go to our neighbors, to go to our coworkers, to live in a way that impacts them for the kingdom. To show them that there is an invitation to a spiritual kingdom that is available everywhere to everyone. We see in our world today the issues around racism. And how people feel like some are excluded and some are included. And Jesus says, I don't care what race you come from. I don't care your status or your age or anything. He says, all you have to do is believe. You are all invited. Every person. He doesn't care what background we come from. We are all welcomed into his kingdom. And he's telling his disciples to go everywhere. Okay, verse 9. Acts 1, verse 9. We'll wrap it up here pretty quick. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. In the Old Testament, a cloud represented the presence and the glory of God. And there's a lot of examples you can look up, like in Exodus 13. There's several times in Exodus where the presence, the glory of God was represented in a cloud. Numbers 9. And especially it seems significant on a mountain. And you see the setting for this both at the Transfiguration and the Ascension. This passage also alludes to Daniel 7, where a figure like the Son of Man comes before God in the clouds of heaven and is given everlasting dominion. Okay, so there's interesting the picture or the imagery that's used here. Again, it's a theme throughout the Bible that you see. And so Jesus is ascending again into the glory and into God's kingdom. And can you imagine being there? Just watching. Go to verse 10. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he'll return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. And so they are standing there gawking in the sky, probably with their mouths wide open. And, it's one of those moments that would have been TikTok famous, okay? And they are in shock, they're in awe, and they're probably lucky that a bird didn't fly by at the wrong time and drop something. But they're just amazed. They're standing there. Just picture yourself. I mean, you're talking to Jesus, and he's like, you're going to receive power to be my witness. He's just having a conversation, and then he goes. We'll get into this more next week, but you wonder what their initial thought was. What do we do now? what does that mean? Jesus, hello? Are you coming back? What does that mean when the angels say that he'll return in the same way you saw him go? I can imagine there'd have been confusion, there'd have been fear, and yet the amazing thing is the Bible says that they went and they prayed fervently. They waited on the Lord like he had instructed them to. And I think that the announcement that Jesus will come in the clouds again and return for his bride is important. It's also, I think, interesting to note the use of angels, the ministry of angels that we often don't talk about angels, but in Luke, he mentions them at the announcement of Jesus' birth. There was angels mentioned when Jesus was risen from the dead at the tomb, and there's angels here at his ascension. And again, the angels are ministers for the Lord. And I was just pondering this yesterday, and I wonder to an extent, if it's a picture of our relationship too with God, how we're given a message, we're given a task that the Lord gives us and that we're called to go and do the work for him. Anyway, I want to end with this. Are you hungry for him? Do you desire to see his power at work in your life, in your family, in your business, in your everywhere that we go? I really believe that Jesus was basically the Father's only sermon. When you look at the Old Testament, it points to Jesus. When Jesus came, it fulfilled all of that. And he's saying to us, this is my son to whom I'm well pleased. And he's saying, here's an invitation for you to come. And it's an invitation for us. And we see in the early church was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they did go in power. And I believe that there was something, there's examples that I hope as we go into Acts that we'll see that they fasted, they prayed, they were on their face, they were hungry for God. They saw God move. They lived in unity. They cared for each other well. There was an element, there's so many examples in that of what church should look like. And I believe that if we don't see God at work in our lives, then we're no different than another social gathering, right? We need Jesus. We need him in our midst, and we need to pursue him. We need to wait on him. And I believe that God wants to move in us when we surrender our hearts to him, when we submit ourselves to him. But we do need to believe. We do need to wait on him. Everything that Jesus touched came alive. And I don't know about you, but my prayer is, Jesus, would you touch me today? You mind just bowing your head and closing your eyes? Would you just invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill you? This is what, as a follower of Jesus, we're designed for. We're made for this. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd fill us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill our hearts, that you'd transform us. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd reveal to us. I thank you that you are our teacher. And I pray that you'd show us who Jesus is in us and through us and who we are in you today. Lord, I thank you that you're not a life coach. You are our Lord. You're Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and everything below you must bow to your name. Every sickness, every disease, stupid comments, perversion, politics, hatred, whatever it might be. And Lord, in our lives, we surrender everything. We submit our attitudes, we submit our past, we submit our future, we submit our attitudes to you. So I want you to just think about for a moment in your heart, in your life, where are the areas you need breakthrough? And you don't have to yell it out loud if you don't want to, but I want you to audibly, vocally say, Jesus, come. As you think about, and you even pray specifically to those areas, Jesus, come. Jesus, come into my kids. Lord, they need you. Jesus, come into my marriage. God, we need you. Lord, Jesus, come into my workplace. Jesus, come into my family or my friends or those that don't know you. Jesus, come. You know, just saying the name of Jesus, there's power in his name to release the kingdom wherever we are. And we need to learn to recognize that and to believe that there is power in his name. We carry his authority. We carry his power because he lives in us. Go ahead and just say, Jesus, come. Jesus, come in me. Jesus, fill me. You might notice even in your heart that you begin to feel peace or you want to cry or whatever. It's because of who he is. Try saying in the name of Jack, come. It doesn't work. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's even a reason that when people say, they don't say, oh, in Jack's sake, come. Right? There's power in his name. So Jesus, we invite you. We invite you to come. Jesus, I pray that we would know who you are. Jesus, I pray that your power would fill us. I pray that your love would fill us. I pray that your peace would fill us. Jesus, we need you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would empower us to be the witnesses that you've called us to be the lovers of God that you've made us to be. Lord, that you would fill us today, that you'd equip us, that you'd strengthen us, that we would walk with you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would have boldness. I pray for courage. I pray, Lord, that fear would not take root in our hearts. And Jesus, we surrender to you. We surrender everything, God. We surrender every relationship. We surrender God, our jobs, we surrender those we work with. We surrender the issues in our life today that are a struggle. Jesus, we give it all to you. And we say, come, come, Jesus. We surrender our physical health. We surrender our emotional health. Lord, we offer ourselves to you and we say, Jesus, come and make us whole. Come, Jesus, and do what only you can do in me and through me, I pray. Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill me with your gifts. Holy Spirit, I ask for every gift. I ask that I would be an effective witness for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that I would be completely surrendered and submitted to you so that I can hear you and walk with you and have boldness and courage and faith to step out. Help me to believe. Help me to believe, Jesus. Help me to believe in who you are in me, and that you are walking with me right now. Help me to believe, Lord, that you are always with me, that you never leave me. In Jesus' name. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for you to invade our homes. I pray, God, this week we would notice a difference. I pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding to flood our hearts and minds, but I pray for your peace also to reign in our homes. God, that there would not be fighting or strife or division. I pray for your peace in our community today, God. I pray that there would be peace in Maple Creek and the surrounding area, that all the garbage that's been just stirred up because of COVID and everything going on, I just pray for your peace in people's hearts and lives. I pray, God, for healing, Lord, that this division would not continue. Lord, the enemy wants to destroy us and wants to bring division and despair. And I pray, God, that your love and your light would reign in this place. And we pray, Jesus, that you would help us to bring that love wherever we go and bring that peace and bring your joy and be hope to others, God. I pray that you'd help us to be a witness in Jesus' name. God, I pray for this church, Lord, that it would accomplish all that you've called us to do. And Lord, whether it's here physically or even online or whatever, I pray, God, that we would equip and build up one another to go and do the work that you've called us, that we would be the church wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.